Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Progressive American. I'm Connor, back with another morning podcast about the week's news from a progressive perspective. Welcome back to the show. It is July 7th, 2021, and today we will be discussing Joe Manchin's financial ties to Fox News, the recent revelations about the Haitian president, a federal injunction against DACA, vaccine hesitancy, and an attempted attack on California Democrats. With that out of the way, let's jump into the news. A while back, I wrote an article about Joe Manchin, detailing how his political position in West Virginia is partially responsible for his stubborn refusal to support Democratic positions, despite him being a Democrat. In that article, I argued that Manchin's tendency to oppose Democratic positions was due to his less than impressive vote share in his last election, where he barely managed to keep his seat. And initially, I thought he was trying to appeal to his increasingly right-wing base. But the truth is that there is more to this story. On Thursday, Salon Magazine published a report that Manchin had received $1,500 from News Corp's Political Action Committee, a PAC run by none other than Rupert Murdoch, Fox News' owner. The report by Salon was further supported by FEC records, which detail the support and when exactly he received the money. The Independent and Texas Tribune also reported that Manchin was now making plans to attend a GOP fundraiser in Texas and was meeting with several gas moguls. In other words, Manchin's position is compromised by his desire for GOP dollars. It's one thing to act and vote in a more conservative-leaning manner than the rest of your party, but to take money from the rival party is entirely different. Not to mention attending fundraisers with them. If there's anything to be said about Joe Manchin, it is that he is nothing short of a dino, a Democrat in name only. Maybe he believes that the rightward shift of his state means that he has to shift parties to stay in power. But if that is the case, then Democrats need to make it clear that if he does that or he goes forward with his current other plans, they will make him pay for it. The people of his state elected him as a Democrat, but instead they got a GOP hack and a Democrat's clothing. And it shows. He opposes climate change action thanks to his connections to oil and gas companies, and he refuses to expand voting rights despite Republican attempts to restrict them at the expense of his party. Not to mention the fact that he refuses to do away with the filibuster, which he knows is blocking a wide array of important options for reforming our government. If Manchin remains as he is, then Democrats need to primary him the first chance they get, not just to send a message, but also to make a point to Manchin himself. He is not helping anyone but himself and the Republicans he coddles. In foreign policy news, we once again return to Haiti. Last week, you all remember that the president of Haiti was assassinated, with many wondering just how the murder took place and who was responsible. On Friday, Colombian officials announced that they had found the man that they believed ordered the killing. They identified Joseph Felix Badio, an ex-intelligence officer who ordered the assassination, per reporting from the New York Times. Badio allegedly stated that the plan was to arrest the late President Moïse, but that changed a few days before the raid took place, and Badio reportedly ordered an assassination. The revelation is sure to bring about more tension between the two countries if not handled properly. Then there is also the issue of possible inside help. Just a day before, the New York Times reported that the head of palace security for former President Moïse, Dimitri Herard, was in police custody. In the report, the Times notes that Herard made several trips to Colombia's capital of Bogota before the assassination took place. It's worth noting that most of the assailants are Colombian. It is also worth noting that not a single guard at the palace was injured when Moïse was killed, suggesting that the guards may have been ordered to stand down or something else was going on. Then there's also the issue that several of the killers received training from the US government. This adds yet another layer of problems to this story. Ultimately, we don't know much besides this. We know that the murderers were from Colombia, a close ally of the United States, and some of them received training from the American military. Still, there has yet to be any evidence that the United States assassinated Moïse, nor is there any evidence that the Biden administration or anyone in the United States government wanted Moïse dead. This is a mess that needs restraint. We should question the United States government, but let's not jump to conclusions, especially when the Haitian government has yet to make that charge. The fact of the matter remains that we don't know a lot about what happened, and the investigation is still ongoing. But the fact that there are so many interests tied into this case suggests that there is more to this story than we originally imagined. In more saddening news, DACA is yet again under legal threat. This time from a federal district in Texas, after a district court ruled that the program could no longer accept applications for protection as the program is, according to the judge, illegal. The decision means that if the appeal to the ruling does not win out, then 800,000 people who came here as children would be subject to deportation. Currently, these deportations would be delayed until the appeal goes through, but the fact that there are nearly a million people whose lives are on the line pending appeal should outrage everyone. This isn't the usual case of immigration law. These people were brought here as kids, having no agency of their own and having no knowledge of any other country but this one. Sending them to another country now, especially when they were promised protection by a court in 2020, is cruel. If there is any group of people worthy of a path to citizenship, assuming we can make that judgment, it is the people who grew up and were raised here. This court ruling effectively means that people who did not choose to break the law are now treated as if they did. Throwing them out means loss of property, loss of their homes, and separation for their families. And for what? This is not following the will of the people, and it is not humane. 74% of Americans support DACA, and it has retained its popularity since it was initiated in 2012. There is no reason for this to continue. Congress needs to act before the Supreme Court does something that will ruin the lives of countless people for no good reason. In other domestic news, we now turn to COVID-19 and the attempts to maximize vaccination. The Biden administration recently began its efforts to support and promote vaccination among the populace, sending multiple teams into the Midwest and the South to assist state and local efforts. They are also trying to stop the rising tide of the Delta variant, which is now the predominant form of COVID in America. Unfortunately, it seems as though the effort is an uphill one. While 56% of the American public has received one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, only 49% of Americans are fully vaccinated, according to the CDC. Fox News hosts like Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham have also begun spreading misinformation about vaccination and have repeatedly called the safety of the vaccines into question, resulting in Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois calling out the two pundits. This tension has now trickled down into partisan attitudes. A recent YouGov poll found that over 30% of Republicans will not get the COVID vaccine. While most Americans plan or already have received the vaccine, the fact that a significant portion of Americans and Republicans don't want to get it means that herd immunity is slipping away more and more. This has to end. People's lives are at stake. More and more people are dying and being hospitalized because we are not even close to herd immunity. It's no longer an individual choice. Now, I've been criticized in the past for supporting mandatory vaccination for MMR. I don't regret my position on that, and I doubt I will regret this position either. The COVID-19 vaccine should be legally required for all persons who are medically able to receive it. Those who refuse to be vaccinated should be fined until they comply with the vaccine requirements. We have lost 500,000 people to this virus and may lose 100,000 more if something isn't done. And I know what some may say, that this is unconstitutional or that it is an invasion of individual rights, but the truth is that neither of those things are correct. The Supreme Court in Jacobson v. Massachusetts stated that vaccination requirements fall well within the policing powers of the state, so long as they are not applied arbitrarily. And the case has yet to be overturned by the Supreme Court. Additionally, individual rights are not absolute. If you harm another person with your actions, you are subject to the government's power. It's a simple principle. You have the right to swing your arms as much as you want, so long as you don't punch me in the face. Refusing to get vaccinated and spreading the disease is the medical equivalent of punching someone in the face. The state has the right and the duty to do something about this. Now, I don't know how far the states will go, but if people don't do what needs to be done, they need to be compelled to do what is right. I hope it doesn't get to that point, but considering what we are seeing, it seems like we have no other option. In yet another example of right-wing violence, we turn to California. On Friday, Talking Points Memo reported that two men, Jared Copeland and Ian Benjamin Rogers, were arrested and charged for their plans to pipe bomb and shoot up the Democratic headquarters in Sacramento, California. The charges came after one of the men, Rogers, was arrested for illegal possessions of firearms. When law enforcement raided his home, they found 5 pipe bombs, 49 firearms, and a self-made MG-42 belt-fed machine gun. Texts between the two routinely complained about the results of the 2020 election and how they wanted to see Trump, who they called 45, a reference to him being the 45th president, win. They believed that they had to take back their country from Biden and, by extension, the Democratic Party through violence. Thankfully, both of these men were caught and are likely going to face prison time. But the reason I bring this up is because so many people seem to ignore the danger that comes with this kind of thinking. When right-wing media outlets intentionally tie being Republican with being a real American, they necessarily exclude and deny the humanity of their opposition. And this isn't a unique story. Right-wing pundits convinced people that the country was being stolen, and these people did what any reasonable person could expect them to do. They fought against what they saw as un-American forces. Everyone in this country is an American, regardless of poverty. And the fact that this can't get through to some people is a problem. If we want to avoid seeing this kind of thing happening again and again, maybe we should call out the purveyors of this logic and rhetoric in its entirety. There can be no excuse for this anymore. People are dying because of this. That's all for this week's episode. Thank you all for joining me. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it on Twitter and any other social media that you want. It helps the podcast grow, and I appreciate it. If you want to see more content outside of the podcast, consider checking out the newsletter on Substack. Just look up The Progressive American on Substack and you will find me there. Thanks again, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.